Welcome back, Lister sisters, Lister misters, and Lister listeners, to another episode of Top Hat Topics. I am your co-host, Jen Snyder, and with me as always,
Kristen Hughes. And just like every episode, of course, we want to go ahead and start out by reminding everyone to email us at tophattopics.podcast@gmail.com for any feedback that you may have. Please answer all of our questions. Tell us the most arbitrary of thoughts that you have on your daily journey through life, and most importantly, to nominate a Gentleman Jack in your own life. Every week we select one. If there's a specific nomination that we're given permission for, we read it on air, and we just think that it's really important that we honor those people that represent Gentleman Jacks in our life. So email us.
And then we also, as always, we want to shout out the Gentleman Jack fans, HBO and BBC One TV show. But this week, we also want to give a little shout out to our Lister Sisters off-topic check, because it is super fun. And if you haven't joined that one too, join it too, because it is the perfect addition to the other.
It is on and popping all the time. Like, that's really the only phrase I know to describe what that group, and it doesn't matter what time, like, no matter what time zone you're in, you got some Lister Sisters on that off-topic group that are
ready to talk.
They ready.
Yeah, it's great. So shout out to those ladies. We love y'all.
On and popping.
On and popping. All right, so let's get in to episode 6. Do ladies do that?
Do they?
Ladies do a lot of things.
Indeed. Hey.
So we're just going to...
I'm sure you guys recognize that as the clear and delicate sound of the Madeira bottle opening, since these next two episodes are particularly emotionally grueling. We decided it was only fair that the Blandy's Rainwater Madeira made a cameo for emotional support.
Absolutely. Shout out to Blandy's Rainwater. Sponsor our podcast. So here we are, episode 6. Do ladies do that? We're going to do a quick cheers because we're going
to
need it.
Cheers to you guys.
Yeah, here's to y'all. We love you.
Cheers.
All right, here we go. Oh, my God.
Is there anything better than Madeira? Like, so really, good. Though? Like, it's all up. When we went out Friday night, Jen, that was all I wanted. Like, every bar that we went to, I was like, let me look at the wine list.
No one has Madeira.
I know, but you know what? If I could have found somewhere in Colombia that had Madeira, I promise you that would have a lifelong patron in me.
I feel you.
I'm gonna commission that at Art Bar. I'm gonna commission Madeira be a served at the Art Bar. There, I said it. Y'all spread a word.
I don't even think Art Bar listens to this podcast, but they should. They should.
They might.
All right. So here we go, you guys. As always, HBO static to start us off. Even the previews made me sad this week. So that's somber music. That's how we starting.
We starting with somber music. Animals vocalizing in the distance.
There's our boy being a good boy per the usual.
Sweet Argus.
Yeah, we love Argus. This is heartbreaking.
Rodri, the Scottish deerhound. We love you.
She lost a tooth. Like, that's it for that back in 1832, right?
No doubt. I mean, you'd have to have some money
She's got money, and I still don't even think she could do it. You know, like, who's a dentist then?
It just hurts my feelings to see her bleeding. But honestly, with her, she's such a proud and strong person. It's not,
I love, she sees them having tea in the parlor, and she just rolls her eyes like, bitch, not today. I done got beat up. I can't go have cherries with these bitches while I listen to the carpet guy.
I'm definitely not going to have figs with this tradesman this afternoon.
Yeah. You be quiet, Cottingsworth.
Accordingly.
Yeah. Always getting it wrong. But you need to bring me some warm water because I'm fucked up.
She's being so nice, though. Like, there's nothing sharp about her actions. No. Like, this is a moment where we really see how vulnerable she can be. And this moment right here is why Saran Jones, this is one of, I don't know, at least 237 moments in this whole series as to why Saran Jones should have been nominated for an Emmy.
Yeah.
This is the first episode that we've recorded since the Emmy nominations came out.
We were robbed.
And this moment right here is one of at least 237 that I could recall.
She's, I just don't, I hate this whole scene. It just upsets me so much. But she gave as good as she got, I have to say.
I mean, you got to give it to her to have only been 5'4" and of a slender athletic build. Mm. I mean, even though we know Saran Jones is 5'8 and built like a brick shit house, but and Lister herself. I mean, that's giving a grown man a run for his money.
It is.
She held her own for sure. Like he didn't walk away unwounded.
It is hard to fight a grown man. It is not fun.
I feel you.
Yeah. One time I won, one time I didn't. That's just how it goes. Oh, poor baby. And she plays this really well. I mean, like, the way it hurts her to get up.
After you get beaten.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Because your adrenaline's going while it's happening. But afterwards, you're just in so much pain. And she's like, girl, could you bring a Brit some brandy?
Yeah.
Madura ain't going to cut it.
Girl, you need to give me the strong stuff.
And let me know when Mr. Abbott goes, because I want to go down and have some pie and some figs, and I want to see that damn carpet dude up in my parlor.
Here in the Carolinas, our version of that brandy would be, just bring me the mason jar.
Yeah. Just bring me.
Just bring me that damn mason jar.
Bring me the corn liquor or bring me the moonshine.
No doubt.
There's a package for you. Life just loves to pour salt in the damn wounds sometimes.
I need a sip of Madeira.
Yes.
On that one.
Yeah, here comes and shout out to our foreign correspondent. Isn't that who sent us the equivalent?
Amanda Price.
Yes, Amanda Price, you're the best. So the ring, y'all, back in the day would have been about 2 G's.
And Stacey Brooks sent us a calculation as well. Both of them sent us a calculation.
Shout out to Stacey Brooks too. She's hilarious. I love her. Yeah, you just got your ass whooped and told to stay away from the woman you bought this to. I've been there for something similar. You know what I'm saying? Like, the humiliation.
Girl, ain't we all be like, I'm going to make a major life decision to make this person think that I'm really serious about them. And then bam, right when everything is going wrong.
And she gags. And here we are into the intro, probably the highlight of this episode emotionally. I mean,
emotionally, at least we still get to see Saran Jones as Ann Lister get dressed.
Yeah.
Not a total loss.
Get your whalebone sword and your pocket watch and let's roll out. You know, I call it what I want to call it, Google. I say what I want.
It is not a busk. It's a sword.
A sword. It's not a rig. It's a gig. Giggity. Oh, Ann Lister in the eye. All right. So here we are. At beautiful Shibden Hall. You know what? I bet they're like really like, what are all these lesbians doing here now?
No, they know. They have extended their hours.
Because
so many people have been there. They are now opening on Fridays.
That's awesome.
Whereas they were closed on Fridays previous to this past week, I believe. And they've also extended their winter months as well. They usually close seasonally, but they've extended their winter months and open on Fridays. And the entire area seems to be, from what I know and from what I've seen, the entire area seems to be just overjoyed and proud that the area and that Shibden Hall is receiving all of this tourism, and you know, it's doing so many good things for that area.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm glad that they're doing that. I just wondered if they wondered why the uptake of lesbians all of a sudden.
I mean, it probably started about a couple years ago when Sally really started working on the show, they started wondering. They were like, okay.
They were like, look, just expect lesbians. So she's lying to her family and telling them that she fell off a wall while they have breakfast tea.
Fell off a wall.
Who on earth put you up to that? No one. Me.
If I would have told my mama I fell off a wall, she would have looked at me and been like, but you don't fall.
And when she makes her excuse for tea, she says, I was feeling bilious. I had to look that up. It means vomitous. So I was feeling sick.
Nauseous.
Yep, nauseous.
Yep. I know, because you like to use it a lot now.
I know. Well, I was feeling bilious the other day. I was legit feeling bilious.
Bilious.
It sounds better when she says it. The Southern accent don't do us justice. I was feeling quite bilious.
If you were to make your entire like audio media British or Australian or really any other accent, you would, like I do it. Like right now, I'm in a British TV and movie rabbit hole. Mm. And so now I hear myself speak and I hear other people speak and I'm like, we just don't, we've ruined the Queen's English.
Oh, and there she is. There she's getting all bilious, puking. And what a good excuse to miss tea, but damn, not necessary.
Don't we all know that feeling, though? Just like not even being able to.
And I saw something that one of the groups that somebody posted all the times that Mirian breaks the fourth wall.
Yeah.
Is she only the only other character to do that, I wonder? Because we always comment about her doing it, but she does it several times that I didn't even notice.
Oh, yeah. Mirian does it several times, or five times.
Yeah. And I, you know, the first watching, I didn't notice that she had done that. But now, you know, now I'm more keen to watch it.
Well, there's another time later in this episode that she does it. And I don't care because that's not really a spoiler. That is very pronounced.
It's the best. Oh, so she's hitting up the ex-girlfriend. Can you fan me a groom?
Yo, Mary.
I mean, good for them that they had it like that. She hits up her brother. Ma'am, she hits up.
Like, I guess I don't have. I am sorry to any of you that may be listening, but there is not one single one of y'all that I'm trying to call to ask for anything.
Oh, your exes?
Yeah.
Oh, you so. I like my ex. Well, not all of them. Not all of them.
I mean, it's not that I don't like some of them. It's just that, like, I don't need to ask you for anything either.
I got you. You ain't friends.
Sometimes it be like that.
They're just special friends. Her and old Mary. And bitch being nosy. Who you going traveling with? Nobody, Mary. Mind your damn business.
I love this entire scene because of how it juxtaposes the two of them in their own environments, and it's like they're having a conversation.
Yeah.
And the script is a little bit of reading of the letter, but also their live reaction, like what they are responding to in the letter.
I like how she's mad because she got saucy. Don't be asking me about her. I'm already upset.
I know. And she's always so proper, like the way that she cuts her paper and stuff. Like, girl, I'd have taken a whole page. I'd be like, this is going to be a whole page letter. No half page. I feel like if you took the time to cut your paper, that was your way of saying you're keeping it brief.
Yeah, for sure. So she's telling the aunt that she's got a groom. While you're upstairs, I found somebody. Poor baby. Because she knows what time it is. Oh, and Mr. Ross, and here he goes on his bullshit. Damn, she's having the worst day.
She
got beat up. She got the ring. Her damn sister was bitching at breakfast. Now she got to listen to Mr. Ross's crap. What does he want?
It's really one of those examples of scariest environment imaginable. Everything that could possibly go wrong is going wrong for Anne right now.
Yeah, that is how it happens, though. It feels like it's always like that. I mean, at least for me, when I'm having just have a run
same.
Of bad luck.
Like when one bad thing happens, I always know that it's about to be a string.
I love it. This is their couch. This wood, it does not look comfortable at all, but she's laid up on it like, yeah, this is the couch.
It really doesn't, but every time I watch this episode, and yes, at this point I have seen this episode at least 10 times, I don't know why, but I always find myself really interested in the shoes she is wearing and her stockings.
The shoes are really nice.
And the stockings. Yeah. They look loose like socks, but they're not socks. They're stockings. And like, I'm familiar with the wardrobe of that time, but there's just something about those stockings. I know that's weird. Like, look at this beautiful woman laid up on this couch, but take a look at those stockings.
All right. So the aunt's telling her she don't like the dude. She tried to like him, but she's not into it at all. Because he was what? An abrasive know-it-all.
That's exactly what Mr. Abbott is. That part when she was coming in, he was like, oh, can we be squeezing some more tea out of this pot? I would have been like, you can leave.
Well, he was kind of rude to her, though. He kind of, remember, he was trying to tell her about her own ailment and about her own house. Yeah, I get
it. He was rude to everybody.
That's true. I'm not surprised the aunt didn't like him. I love that she didn't like him. That shows that, you know, that's why she loves Anne, because she's not stupid.
Because Anna's real.
Yeah, and she can spot a fake. Yep, and so Here we go. Got to tell your aunt about the breakup.
But at least she could tell her aunt, though. Like, at least there was one person that she could, you know, not give all the details to, but still share the brunt with.
I mean, she's admitting to her that she liked her way more than she ever thought she would.
First, she's like, that's the thing about it. She's like, oh, she's so insipid. She's so anxious. But I care about her.
She's just trying to convince herself that
she
doesn't
is. She's trying to. She's trying to be hard, but she's not. She's actually a big, big softy inside.
And she's
it's just, all an act.
She's spilling her guts. Oh.
And Aunt Anne just wants to hold her. You can tell.
But no, she's right. She's better for her than anybody in her family because they don't care about her. They're always trying to marry her off to some scumbag that wants her money.
And Anne's like, I like the money, but I like her a lot more.
Yeah. But it is their fault because they put the shit in the cousin's head and then the cousin put the shit in her head. And then it just got worse and worse and worse from there. And she knows that she loves Anne. Yeah. Everybody's been here. It's so rough. This is the roughest episode.
Guys, we're only like 13 minutes in and it's already so rough.
She'll be dry as a stick and then she'll disappear. Yeah, we got to pour more Madeira for that. It's too much. And then I can make her so happy. That poor baby.
She needs courage. She can't even leave the front door.
I mean, but to be fair, not everybody could have the courage that Ann Lister had, and especially in 1832. Bitch, nobody had courage like that.
It's so true.
I'm surprised that this story hasn't been told sooner. But I guess, you know what, like, culturally and time-wise, like, I don't think the world was ready until now, honestly, which sounds weird.
And the world probably still mad. It might be ready, but I bet it's still mad.
Die mad about it. Die mad about it. So she's taking Eugenie again. Why does she like Eugenie so much? She's probably one of my least favorite characters.
That's because she, like, that's her job. Like, she's her lady's maid. She got her because Courtingly had broken her leg.
Yeah.
And couldn't really travel anymore. And so Anne purposely sought out a young handmaid, lady's maid. Sorry, y'all. Handmaid's Tale obviously got me fucked up. Not a handmaid, a lady's maid from France while she was there so that she could have somebody that she could trust.
And spoke kind French.
Of the way that she did accordingly.
Gotcha. So here, who's here? Oh, Mr. Ainsworth. No, that's not Mr. Ainsworth.
Oh, my God, no. That's Mr. Washington.
Sorry, I had him on the brain from last time.
I've had him on the brain, too, because I've been reading The Moss House. Shout out to anyone else who might be reading that. I read, like, 2/3 of the book last night.
Damn. And so now she's having to cancel sink in the pits. This day.
It's the worst. She's just like, I got beat up. My baby don't want me no more.
I'm going to pay $2,000 for a ring. What am I going to do with this ring now?
What am I going to do with this? I ain't going to wear it.
She's like, I have to be honest with you, bro. I just don't have the monies right now. My circumstances have changed, is what she wants to say.
That's such a classy way to say that, though, yeah. Because I feel like
I want to pause and reassess.
You know, like, I've never been a wealthy person, so for me, it's not a big deal to look at somebody and be like, I just don't have the money to do that. You know, like, that's a regular thing I say in life.
And that's so cool. So she also did that for her, too. She got her into the school somehow, right? Or sent her some kind of apprenticeship.
She's sending her to a seamstress in town that does, you know, clothing for wealthy, high-class individuals.
And so she can learn a trade.
Yeah, so that she can become an apprentice.
Yeah. And so then her and Thomas see each other for the second time, because the first time was when she brought the letter letting them know they could stay at the farm.
Can I just say one thing that I love about his character and, like, for his age, too? And I know it was 1832 and it was a different time of stuff, but just the way that he treats people, but especially this beautiful young woman, he's so natural and just authentically cool. Like, he's not trying, you know? Like, he's just being nice.
Yeah.
He's just being polite. And I think it's so smooth. Like, that boy is a born smooth operator.
He's doing his thing. Hey, girl, you want to ride my pig cart? We're going into town. I give you a ride. You know what I'm saying? No big deal. I got my own pig cart.
What,
most probably
poor work?
Dudes don't.
What, want you to walk, girl?
Yeah.
Chafing is a bitch.
Yeah. It's 1832. Hop up in this pig cart, girl. I'll take you to town. Yeah.
This pig right here is going to be the finest ham, sausage, and pie in town.
He's like bragging. He's like, well, you know, if this goes well, I'll be selling a lot of pigs in this pig cart, girl. We can have a ride to town anytime. What have you been feeding him? Ooh, all sorts. Was that a, wait, let's rewind that. Was that a fourth wall break? Did he look at us?
Okay,
or he just
so
just
people
look at the
have, I have seen people post that before. It's very, yeah.
He
okay,
did,
so
right, one
I've
more time.
Seen, I've seen people post that before that have argued if this was a fourth wall break. And if you put it in slow motion, it looks like he does.
Right
there.
He did. He totally, it's very slight, but he totally did.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
If y'all want to send us an angry email, do what you do.
You do you, boo-boo.
Yeah. That's so sweet. He says, I'll wait for her. And she's like, you don't want to be waiting around for me. And he's like, oh, I do. Oh, ominous music. Hang the whores. Militarist drum beat.
This like reminded me of Les Mis.
It is a little bit. Or it's a lot like the scene in The Princess Bride. Foul, rubbish, rot.
Boo.
Boo.
That's exactly what it is.
It is. And it's also very similar to Game of Thrones. Shame.
Shame. I mean, exact same.
Oh, and Anne Lister, just looking at her like it was worth it.
Both of them look probably the most beautiful that either of them have looked in the entire episode. And if you put this whole scene on slow, look, do you see the puppets in the background of them? There are pictures on Saran Jones' Instagram of her with that puppet, and I always wondered why it came from where it came from until I saw the puppets. And that was actually an homage to the effigies of them that were burned in their real life.
That happened?
Yes, there was a situation with a well on the part of some of their tenants. And
they built effigies and burned them?
They had people like protested them and the decisions they made in that situation and burned effigies of them. So that scene was like an homage to that.
Go Google.
But side note, they look super beautiful during that whole entire scene.
Yeah. And so it's just a bad dream, but this is the kind of, this is the host of miseries that Anne is in right now, just making her all upset.
The whole host of miseries. Here's Miss Parkhill without 17 different hair parts. Thank God.
And well, and just not to be too, what is that word, objectifying, but she hot too, yo.
Miss Parkhill?
That one right there, the cousin?
We got different tastes.
Hey.
I don't know. I think Miss Parkhill is just a friend.
That does not make her not a beautiful woman.
I didn't say, what are you talking about? No, I'm just saying like, that, I'm not saying that she's not beautiful. I'm just saying that's not my personal flavor.
I mean, she look a lot like Sophie, though.
No, she does
not. Oh, my God. What else? They're both
write to
blondes.
Us and tell us what you think.
That's fine. They're both hot blondes. And so here's the good Rossin talking to the daddy. Yeah.
I love the boots that Jeremiah Rossin
is wearing.
Yeah,
me too.
Wearing.
I would kill for a pair of those. I really like his style, too.
Yeah, right? He fresh.
And honestly, dude, this one little thing lets me think that he did not know his brother was going to do that.
I don't think that he knew either, but as soon as he saw it, he knew what had happened.
He did look very concerned.
I completely agree with you that I do not think that he knew that that was planned, and he certainly does not condone it.
Yeah, because his whole thing is just like, yeah, we were stealing coal, but maybe we should pay for it.
I mean, he's been saying the whole time, like, we just need to go ahead and give her the money that she's asking for because she knows. And she's given us the opportunity to make an honest deal.
And not look like bad people.
Yeah, and we just need to do it. And that, you know, gremlin-ass motherfucker wants to play ball.
Yeah, and so he... But he is telling them that, yeah, my brother sent me because he thought your position might have changed. And we all know why.
And she's like, not today, bitch.
But only very slightly. All right. So she's offering an abatement on the price. 1.29 and 10 shillings. We're gonna leave the 6 pence out of this time, I guess.
Mm. And like in comparison to the original offer, that's a really, really, really good offer.
Mm-hmm. But not on that bottom bed. I still need 2.26, 17, and 6 pence, honey.
Because you have been stealing from me. I don't blame you, Anne. I too would have been like, this is prorated.
And she's really smart, and she's, you know, neither of these are unreasonable requests. And if someone you would think they were, then you probably are doing something shiesty. That's why you don't want to abide by it. Yep.
And it's true. And so many conversations that she has with both of the Rawsons, she is so much more intelligent than them that she is able to linguistically run circles
absolutely
around them. She gives them every opportunity at every turn and every conversation to admit what they've done.
Yep.
Or to at least make right by it.
Yep. And there she is ringing the bell. I'm ringing that bell, honey. You got to go. I've rung the bell. We're done.
Tick-tock, bitch.
Yep. Footman, see him to the door. Yeah, whatever.
Oh, look, he doesn't have any cheese or crumpets or cakes or whatever else it is that boy's always.
And look at Argus over there in the corner. He is such a good actor.
Argus is the best boy.
He's such a good actor.
Rodri, the Scottish deerhound. You, sir, are the best actor.
He is.
Why you didn't get an Emmy, I don't know.
He's like, sit in the corner and look aloof. He's like, I got it.
Don't you feel like he just stayed super chill through a lot of drama?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And so she's letting her dad know what happened. I got beaten up, and now I can't borrow the money from my girlfriend. I'm having a bad day, Dad.
And you were right in telling me not to mess with the coal. It is a dirty business.
Yeah.
And you know, that was hard for her. Can you imagine how hard it was? I mean, I know how hard it is for me to tell somebody else that they're right and I'm wrong. Ann Lister is even more hardcore than me, so I can only imagine how hard it was for her.
Well, and then she's at the point now where it's like, you can't back down now because then they feel like they can just do that anytime. And, you know, she has to kind of stand up in some way. I don't know, but she's letting it all out to her dad. You know, it was him that hurt the little boy and killed the chicken. The little boy lost his leg.
I just love the way her daddy treats her, though. Like, when she first walked in, when Jeremiah Rawson was there, and he said something about, like, the bruises on her face, and her daddy just smiled and said, you should have seen the other fella.
That was awesome.
Like, it reminds me of my daddy, because I feel like that's something my daddy would say, too. He'd be like, don't think she didn't get her licks in.
So, a letter has just come from Crow's Nest.
Oh, hell. Could this day get any worse?
Oh, no. It's James. He actually came from
personally,
Crow's Nest.
So you know it's serious, and she knows.
Yeah, what's the matter? Slight break of the fourth wall there, but it was there.
Did you see the video of all the times that she took the top hat off in the whole series?
No, is that awesome? I'm gonna check that out.
I'll send it to you.
Nice. And so here we are having a conversation with the. Now you want to shake my hand?
No, she's apologizing straight out the gate. Miss Rawson is.
Oh, because that's not Miss Parker. Miss Parker left because she couldn't
hang.
Right,
she couldn't hang, so Miss Rawson is back, the one that she went to the lakes with.
Mm. Yeah, and now she's being much kinder.
This whole scene just tears me up. Like, I just feel like there was more human interaction in this world like this right now, like for someone to just admit they were wrong.
Well, and here's the thing. She's talking to her about something that's like damn near voodoo back in those days, you know what I'm saying? Like, she hears voices. That was bad stuff. So we're going to give it a little pause here before she goes in, and we'll be back in a moment. All right, so she's going up to see her baby. Where's she at? And there is the sweet little Ann Walker.
Sweet little cinnamon roll.
Yep.
Fresh out the oven first thing in the morning. Look at how beautiful she looks in her perfect white linen pajamas and her beautiful I'm still asleep hair.
I know, and she wants to touch her hand so bad.
Oh, my God. And the way that she said her name, she said it so gently. Oh. And she immediately gets up and grabs hold of her. And wraps her hands around her neck. Like, is there anything else in the world that'll make you melt more than a woman wrapping her arms around your neck? Like,
nope.
Over.
Nothing.
It's over.
Your face.
It's over.
Oh. Yeah, what happened? And this is, it's been, some time has passed because that takes a minute to heal like that.
I mean, it's been at least a week.
Yeah. And yeah, I told that bitch to leave. She had to go. People are worried about you, baby. What's going on?
Her hair is so beautiful. I just want to know if she had any extensions or anything yet, because that's the most beautiful hair I ever saw in my life.
I think this is sweet. I think when she says, don't leave me ever again.
It really is.
And then, like a true girlfriend, she got to bring up the old shit.
Oh, yeah, and like, lest you forget.
Oh, I'll do everything you said.
I don't want to leave right this second, but everything else is cool.
And as she does, you know, we need to get you better first. We need to figure out what's going on.
Man,
and
I totally know that. Honestly, I relate with Ann Walker so much in that moment, though. Like, just being in the kind of place where you needed somebody. And if you didn't have somebody, you weren't going to make it.
She's like, I need you to stay here. Because there's been some crazy shit. And if you see the crazy shit, then everybody won't think I'm crazy. But
and I know that you'll see it because you know that I don't make stuff up. Just stay here in the room tonight.
Yes, in the room. Nowhere else.
That was another video that somebody shared earlier this week, was every time that Ann Walker says something about staying the whole night.
She says it a lot. I do love it.
Excuse me.
Child, I would love for somebody to stay the whole night at this point.
Stay the whole night.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just always stay the whole night. Mm. If you stay the night tonight, you can hear the voices too.
Girl, I would stay. I'd be like, girl, let's listen to them voices. All right. I'll
protect you.
Mm-hmm. I got one of them old-timey horns that they had back in the day. Yeah, I love this scene where everybody's sleeping. That's Kristen and her girlfriend. Oh, me, mom, papa, sleeping in the dam by the fire.
When this episode first came out, we actually received a text message that night while it was on from Jen that said, holla at me in the morning when you see the scene that you know makes me think about you and Amanda. Mm-hmm.
They're just napping. And here's a note. I ain't coming home like you asked me to send. When they woke up, the dog growled because they snorted. It's so funny. And look, what's happening? She's staying over at Christmas? Oh, okay. Eyebrow raise, sigh.
We thought it was off, but obviously not.
No, like as Jerry Seinfeld says, a relationship's like a Coke machine. You can't just push it over. You got to rock it.
Is she back on her bullshit?
Yep. And then look, here they are falling back asleep again. Right back to sleep. And everybody's in the kitchen.
I wonder if it was normal for like everybody's manservants to be doofuses. Because like John Booth is a doofus. James McKenzie. Doofus.
Why is James at their house though? Oh, because he just brought the note.
Yeah, he brought the note, and he's gonna carry that whole trunk all the way back.
Damn.
To Light Cliff up to Crow Nest.
Well, what a job.
And you know how I am about maps. I already looked at the map, so I know how far it was that he had to carry that. Mm. You know how I be.
I know how you be, Google. So yeah, she's already making eyes at Footman James, and poor, what's his name, walked in. What's his name? Mr. Booth?
John Booth.
Yeah. I said
that's
Mr.
my boo-boo.
Okay.
His heart is broken.
Yeah, that's what I was just saying. Sad.
It is. Eugenie is thirsty.
She is very thirsty. And here they are, like, all cuddled up at Crow's Nest, all in the pink linens. And, no, baby, I can't hear nothing.
See, and so this scene actually reminded me of Amanda and I, because like I have some sleep paralysis, so I do crazy stuff at nighttime sometimes, and I'll always be trying to convince her of something and she's dead ass asleep, like I don't hear anything.
I don't hear it.
Lay back down.
I want to go back to sleep.
Like this was very realistically portrayed.
Yeah.
This is marriage.
Oh. And then I mean, like, she's definitely having, like, a psychological break at this point if she's hearing voices. This is tough. What do you mean I'm going to die?
She's like, well, yeah, I mean, I am.
We'll both burn in hell for all eternity. That seems like a long time.
And look on Anne's face is just like, I'm not convinced.
How many can you hear? Three.
I just love how logical Ann Lister is being toward her. Like, she's not she's not being judgy. She's not being annoyed.
Just tell me what you hear.
She's asking logical questions so that in Ann Walker's mind, there can be an opportunity for her
to come back to herself,
to see the logic.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, poor baby. And she's so caring and gentle with her, you know, like she's really paying attention and like really giving her, I don't know, just the support she needs at this moment. Mm.
And she's like, you know what? If it'll make you feel better, I'm going to light a candle. I'm going to go out here to the clock and I'm going to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to tell them who's who, baby.
Because when you're the butch one, you got to go see what the scary noise is. That's your job. I don't know why, but if you got the shortest hair in the relationship, you got to go see what the scary noise is.
That might not always be true, friend.
Well, it is in my life. But the butch one does got to go hear what the scary noise was. Got to figure out what the scary noise was. If it's not in your relationship, good for y'all. That's a quality.
That's a real quality.
Yeah. I hope to find a woman that will go see what the scary noise is.
We mostly take turns, flip a coin. It's the same thing for bugs.
If I was laying in a bed and a woman was like, oh, it's okay, baby. I'll go see what that scary noise was. I would go get grandma's ring. I would be like, all right, that's right the one. Then. That's the one right there.
No, we really like take turns. Like we will recall who did something like this last and then.
Wow. That's a quality. There you go. So she's talking to to Mrs. Rawson and everybody's upset. Ominous music all around. Not even tea can deliver us from this evil. Bad things are happening. So many bad things.
Not even tea can deliver us from this evil.
Oh, man. We got candles. She's upset.
On the side, though, I love that there was no judgment of the fact that Anne has been in Anne's bedroom.
No.
From Miss Rawson, like, they are just two people that are trying to care for someone that they both love.
Honestly, I think she's the only person in the Rawson family that really cares about Anne. And her sister.
And her sister, I mean, I would absolutely, this Miss Rawson and Elizabeth, out of everybody in her family, they're the ones that care about her
the
most authentically.
And see, and basically, she knows that if this gets out, it'll ruin Anne's life. So she's, you know, being really cautious and talking to Anne Lister because she knows she's smart and she knows she can help her. And there's no, like, pretension here. There's like nothing but genuine care for Anne Walker, and she knows that Anne Lister genuinely cares for her.
And this entire conversation, apart from being like, you know, genuine empathy for another human being that you both mutually love, it also says a lot about Miss Rawson's intelligence, because she did know that, you know, if she didn't handle it, if she did, like, that Anne Lister was the only person that could be there to help her, that could see everything, and Anne Walker would still be okay. It says a lot about her intelligence and her understanding of what would happen to a woman that was having a breakdown.
Mm-hmm. In that day and age, especially.
In that day and age, honey, if you broke down, you were getting locked up.
Mm-hmm. And that's what she just said. They'll have her put away. And she's definitely upset, but she, you know, I love, she's like, she can get over this. We can help her make a full recovery. And no one needs to know anything about it, because discretion is the key word in 1832. They're having discretion tea right now.
Discretion tea.
Yeah. We need to figure out how we can make these things okay. And then shout out to Miss Rawson for being like, you know what? I heard bad things and I agreed and I listened to them, but I'm sorry. My bad, because you're obviously a good person who cares about my cousin.
You've had nothing but the best intentions. I'm sorry. I was wrong. But she's like, I don't even care.
Yeah.
Even though there may be truth to it, I see now that that's not bad.
Yeah.
Like, you are not a bad person.
Got some tender music there.
And you can see on Anne's face that she's completely taken aback. She's awkward in her response, even in her facial expression, because that was probably the only time in her life that she had ever had someone of society say, I know what people say about you, and I know, but I don't care.
Yep. And here we go with this evil villain for the first time.
God, I hate him, but Anne's sister is so beautiful.
Yeah, she is very beautiful.
She's a beautiful mother. Look at her with all these beautiful babies around her.
They got too many damn kids. I have a friend who says, I'll support you in two, but three, you're pushing it. And I agree. You don't need more than three. So, and this dude, you can already see the wheels turning about, you know, what he's going to do with this sister when she comes.
He's another guy, like, dear actor who plays Mr. Sutherland. I'm sorry, but you look like an asshole. I'm sure you're a lovely man in real life.
Well, I mean, you know, that they probably really made him look like an asshole, too. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't.
They did a good job making him look like a dick.
Some people are typecast that way, though. You know, some people are just good at playing a villain. They're just good at playing a bad guy. Alan Rickman.
But also playing a good guy, too. Alan Rickman can play anybody. I will cry. Like, yeah, I can't even talk about him.
But
right
he
now.
Plays an excellent villain, and they made him a villain in very many movies. But you know what I'm saying? This guy plays a villain well. And that's a cute little baby. Whoever's little tiny baby that is, shout out.
I mean, and that's a brand new baby, too. Like, shout out for you for having the nerve to let strangers just be holding your brand new baby.
It is very little.
On a set, because I'm telling you, I'm crazy about babies, and I don't know that I would let a bunch of strangers hold on to my brand new baby. So good for you.
So here's Mr. Carpetbagger here again, having tea again. And once again, Anne ain't there, because Anne ain't coming to these damn teas.
Especially not this one with his mama. And, you know, it's funny to me that Mr. Abbott is, you know, kind of courting Marion, because it seems like Marion and his mother have the same taste and dress print. So I would like to name Mama Abbott's dress print slightly older, modest ass woman.
And so here's the two young lovers in the forest. I guess that was the hip thing for teenagers to do.
Laid up against the tree together. Do you know what this scene reminded me of?
What?
Tuck Everlasting. Do you remember that book?
Or I read that book.
Oh,
How can this scene remind you of a book?
Because books create imagery in one's mind.
I'm sorry. That's why I thought it was
a movie.
Grandma
gets you Tuck Everlasting. You can read it in like 2 hours.
Nice.
And you will love it, because I know who you are.
I do love to read. So they're talking about they're talking about the future.
They're talking about the future, and Thomas is all casually like, "Well, you know, Miss Lister told me that, you know, I'm going to get the tenancy, but she really likes for her people to be married because it makes them more settled, more dependable."
Yeah. What do you think about getting married? You like marriage? You like pig carts?
So casual.
Yeah. Oh, man. He is cute. He's a cutie. And he already's like, "I don't think your dad would go for it. He already thinks I'm not good enough for you."
Yeah, but he married my mom, so.
No. And her, she knew. She was like, "Well, my mom's parents wouldn't talk to him, so he'll get over it. He'll be all right." And you live in that big house.
Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Playa, we do not have any money. It's just because Ann Walker is a precious cinnamon roll."
Yeah. It's like, "You wouldn't want to live in our house." He's like, "Wouldn't I? I think I might." But I like how she's like selling him on, "I could live farm life. I could teach the little ones how to, you know, read and write.
I can work on a farm."
Yep.
That's how you know right there. I mean, in those days, I'm just saying, if I was a young boy like him and I had me a beautiful, intelligent woman that could read and write saying all those things to me, I'd be like, "Let me be your man, girl."
If I had an intelligent woman that could read and write talking to me now, I would offer to be her woman. I think you're underestimating how many intelligent women can read and write out there that are single still, Kristen. That's that last part. If you're listening like, "Hey, I'm an intelligent woman that reads and writes," look at your partner and be like, "Oh, this is what she's talking about."
I was about to say, "My standards too high?"
No, I mean, just like, you know, there's not many of them left.
Marin is soups pissed.
"You missed tea again, bitch."
Anna's like, "I got bigger fish to fry than your wool tradesman."
I don't know, but this modest-ass woman dress she got on kind of hot. Like,
I know. It's because of the way she's standing.
Yeah, I just love
her. You can see a little Yara Greyjoy in her there, and bam.
Bam, break the fourth wall.
She's like, "Yeah, I know she's talking to y'all."
What's that? What's her character's name? Like, what's her real name?
In real life?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Gemma Whalen.
That's my jam. Gemma's my jam.
I know, right? I mean, I remember when her character first started coming on to Game of Thrones, and I was like,
Yeah. And she's, I mean, I love, people hate a woman that will come and confront you on something. Cause I know, because I am that woman.
Same.
And people get so mad because they want you to just shut up and do what you want. But she is not having it. This my land. I ain't tell you could be here. Who the hell told you you should be up here? We're about to have some words. And here she goes.
It's true. And that is not gender specific. There are men and women that can't stand anything worse than a woman that is not afraid come and stand their ground.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think that most people hate confrontation, but I think people that are one to prey on that do, you know? I think people know that, and I think people are like, yeah, I'm going to do what I want, because how many people are going to say something? And a lot of people will just not say anything. But here she goes. She's mad. She's going to let him know in a minute. Here we go.
God, doesn't she just give you life?
Yeah. Hinscliffe. Better tell these bitches to get off my land. I don't care what your arrangement. Oh, she, once again, close talking a motherfucker in their face.
In their face. And then she going to go tell all his men, I'm going to get you put in jail.
Yeah.
If you move one more stone. And Mr. Washington's like, damn.
It's like when your girl asks to speak to the manager. And you're like, oh, baby, oh, no. God. Okay, all right. Yeah, she mad. I was just going to eat this burnt steak.
From here on out, every time somebody asks to see the manager, I'm going to just start playing jaunty music.
Jaunty music. Get the hell out of here. So, here we go.
With her lawyer. And, like, I love how her lawyer is straight up with her, too. Like, he knows that she's the boss. He is straight up with her. He tells her when he thinks that what she's saying is viable legally and if it's not. And I love that. I love that he's a straight shooter with
her. He knows who's paying the chickens around there. And they're obviously having a glass of Madeira. Cheers.
Cheers, Madeira.
Whoop. That'd be a fun game to drink Madeira every time they drink Madeira. But
maybe we should come. Maybe we should come up with the official Gentleman Jack Madeira drinking game. Mm.
You guys ought
and
try
we'll
it.
Post the rules. We'll yeah. post the rules on our Facebook page and on the off-topic chat.
It can't be every time they drink, because they don't drink that. They drink tea more than they drink alcohol.
No, there will be more specific rules.
Yeah.
Far more specific rules.
Yeah, like every time they break the fourth wall, being however casual.
Somebody else get with us on that. We're open to suggestions. As many rules as we get, that's how many rules there are.
Yeah. So she's pissed because she doesn't want to sign the agreement. And he tells her, I don't think you should. But he's gonna keep stealing your damn coal. There's nothing you can do about it. Unless you sell to someone else, but then what they've already taken is not there. What are you going to do now?
So basically what he's saying is everything that you've done is right.
But you're still screwed.
But you're still screwed.
And then once again, that age-old tale, it's not personal, it's just business. But then they admit that he's garbage and, you know, he's not the first person that he's tried to get over on, and she won't be the last, so... Oh, and here she is back talking to daddy. Like you do when you have a problem. Go home and talk to your parents. I need some advice. God, she is.
I feel like I'm like that with my grandparents.
Yeah, just go and see.
For sure. Like when it's really bottom of the barrel.
Yeah.
I'm just like.
Tell me what we should do. Once again, somber music. Everybody's somber. She don't know what she's going to do.
Daddy don't know what to say.
He only got $400 he could loan him. That's it, girl. That's all I got.
Oh, faux fitty.
Yep. Tapping on that tiny Bible. Here we go.
See, and that would scare me. Like, not even the fact that she was hearing voices, but the fact that she was tapping on that Bible and saying Lord's Prayer over and over and over again. I'd be like, all right.
And it ain't, everybody's in the bed now. Like, the cousin's upset. Anne's in there.
Everybody's in bed with her.
Yep. Because she's having a mental breakdown. That's exactly what's happening.
Yeah. But here she is, looking like a sweet angel, and she's sweetly, sweetly just touching her face. God, that's the best feeling in the world to wake up to.
Ugh. I would not know, but it sounds wonderful. I give it a shot.
Look at what an angel that cinnamon roll looks like. And she's the little grin.
Maybe I got to go. I
got things to do. I can sit here and look at your pretty face all day long. And then when you come back, I'd be like, yes, girl.
You're
don't
damn
you,
right
don't
I will.
You worry. I'm going to be back as soon as I take care of these things.
Yep. Poor baby.
Y'all, this is the part, though. I'm probably going to cry. There it is.
Oh, man.
She always manages to unhinge me.
She loves her.
That is love. Mm-hmm. Love is when you are trying your hardest to hide yourself from someone and you can't.
True story.
Fuck. That line, I'm sorry. That line just...
I get it.
It was probably the most powerful in the whole series for me.
And so this part where she had written to the brother, and she had already given him an option, but then he comes back with, why don't I just take her to Edinburgh and I'll get her the finest doctors and blah, blah, blah. We'll see.
Only because he wants all the Walker money in his house.
Yep, yep. And then, you know, she's trying to sell her on it. Think how much you love seeing your sister. You haven't seen the new baby. He'll get you some medical treatment, which, you know, we'll see. And I know Anne's just like, I would have been like, that was the right thing to do, but damn, I wish I hadn't done that.
And that's exactly how she's acting right now. She's acting like, I know this is what I got to tell you right now, but I really don't want to.
Yep.
Ugh. Oh, it's so rough.
Yep.
And you can tell that she's having like a rare lucid moment right now because she's a little bit confused. And she doesn't really see why there's a problem big enough, why she should be sent away.
Mm. And she's like, I thought you were going to take me. And this part kills me. I get that you had to ask for permission for shit with women, but fuck that.
Right? That's because we've been blessed with the privilege of the life that we're living in, the time we're living in.
Very true. Mm-mm-mm. And so she's basically talking her baby into leaving.
She's talking her baby into leaving, but Anne Walker wants to know, but you're still going to go to Europe in May?
Yeah, you're still going to go see these other hoes? You're going to see these other bitches?
Look, is she with whom?
No one. I'd go alone.
See, and she's like, oh, my God, girl, you might be having a psychotic break right now, but you have got my number.
Huh. Really? Do ladies do that? Do they travel by themselves? Yeah, bitch. Not as a rule, no.
You know what? Ladies do a lot of things.
But here she goes again. Will you stay the night?
Whatever. Just stay the night.
Anne Walker just wants to know, are you going to stay the night?
I just think it's day by day for Anne Walker.
Yeah. Well, I mean, at this point with her mental stability,
it's been like that forever. Since the beginning.
No, she's been sold on her a lot. No, I don't agree. Because she's the one constantly saying, I want to marry you. I want to be with you. She said it at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, but she says that all the time. But then by the end of every episode, like it only takes her a couple weeks. And she's like, no, I don't think so.
No, she just only did that one time.
No, she didn't. It's been several times now where she's like, yes, no.
No.
Yes.
No. Not like that. Not where she was just like, I think what we do is queer and repugnant. Now
that was the only time she tripped out, but she has been back and forth.
She had to marry the man. That was the first time it happened, and she thought she had to marry the man. And this is the second time when her cousin made her have a mental break. What was the first one before that? Go ahead.
She was back and forth when Anne first brought it up. She was like, let me tell you later. Oh, I don't need to tell you later. And then, yeah, I'm going to wait to tell you later. It was back and forth.
Whatever.
They were just like.
Okay, but anyways. So here she is. She's showing her the ring. She's giving her under the line.
She's like, I'll take care of you. Like, if you say yes right now, you don't have to go anywhere. I won't go anywhere.
Ugh. Yeah.
It just hurts my feelings.
And don't say it because you're scared to be alone tonight. Damn.
Yeah. See?
And say something else in the morning.
That just backs up my point.
Okay. Whatever. Anyways, moving on.
So, blueberries. Bucket.
Okay, can we be done with this? So here we go. She's sobbing. What's she gonna do? What's she gonna tell her?
How do you not say yes to that though?
I wouldn't, but I mean, and she's heartbroken again. All again.
At every turn.
Yep. There you go.
That is just the prettiest box, too. It's so small and dainty.
They don't make cool ring boxes like that anymore.
No, they're just square and velvet and say K Jewelers on the inside.
So she's writing to Mary again. Look at her laid out ass husband. He's sleeping.
Yay, gross.
Dogs. All the dogs. More dogs in this show.
And Anna's in a deep depression, and you always know because she has a flannel blanket wrapped around her greatcoat whenever she's feeling sad.
Yeah. And also, what do you do when your new girlfriend breaks up with you? You got to hit your old on up. Pull somebody off the bench.
I mean, can we just take a second to talk about Mariana's dress, though? That was some beautiful tangerine printed satin.
Mm-hmm.
Cut
good.
Perfectly for her.
So here we are back at breakfast. Marion's being a bitch again.
Shocking.
Yeah. Anne's unaffected per the ush.
I got bigger fish.
I don't want to hear it. You always bitching about something.
I haven't heard anything from Mr. Abbott in 3 weeks.
Well, it's because, like, nobody really liked him, boo. Like, your uncle didn't like him. Your aunt didn't like him. Your sister didn't meet him.
That was her daddy.
Oh, that's her dad. My bad.
It's just easy to say uncle and aunt.
It feels like, are they brother and sister? Is that who they are?
Yeah, Aunt Anne and Father Jeremy are brother and sister.
Oh, I can only, because she's the owner of Shivden, she had to be there. Is that why he would feel particularly slighted that she didn't come to tea?
I guess.
I mean, people got shit to do, man. I don't have time to have tea all the time with carpetbaggers.
I mean, it was official. Oh, yeah. You just said the C word, girl.
Carpetbagger?
Yeah, down here in the South, you know, that's an ugly word down here. If you get called a carpetbagger in the Carolinas,
that's old that's vernacular. Bad. Just means a Yankee that came down with her carpet bag.
Allegedly.
I write in utter misery. Edit that one out, Madeira. She wants her back once again. I said no, but I didn't mean it.
I am wretchedness itself. And that's what tears her up the most, because all she wants is for her to just have a little bit of pride in herself.
Yeah.
Like, think of yourself just a little bit.
Marion gets so mad every time she leaves. Like, why? Does she not have the right to leave breakfast? I have to leave.
It's because she's jealous.
Yeah.
And she's got baby sister syndrome.
Yeah, that's fair, I guess. James, thanks for taking my coat. Now get out of here. Where's my baby? And here they
take
are.
Take me to my baby.
That woman is so terrifying.
She looks like 1832 Jabba the Hutt.
She's like a Skeksic or something. Like, she looks like she's terrifying. I don't like her. It's what I see in my nightmares. So, yeah, where is Anne? Upstairs packing, I guess. Ooh. Yeah, she doesn't seem to want to go. But we're eager to have her. I bet you are.
I bet you are. And Anne is kind of looking at him like, are you the kind of man that I should definitely be afraid of?
And he definitely is. So, here's Mr. Evil trying to, you know, tell Anne that she did a good job keeping it hush-hush. Attaboy.
You did a good job, Ann Lister. And yeah. Anne's like, I don't know about this. Yeah. Also,
yep.
I've never received this kind of respect from a man before.
No, I don't think it's respect. I think it's some kind of low key power move. But
oh, it is. It's 100% manipulation, because he can see, obviously, the way she looks. He knows that that's what will stifle her from objecting.
And the Moppet's like, a lady physician.
That's special.
Yeah, some kind of quack, I'm sure.
I mean, back then, that's what it meant. If you were going to go see a lady's physician, you were getting locked up.
Mm. So she's going to see her baby one last time.
Tender music.
Mm. Oh. So sad.
She's so sad.
Sad cinnamon roll.
Oh, this kiss, though. And Anna's almost surprised. But at the same time, she wants it.
Yep.
She wants to hold her one more time.
I know, but what can I do now? They're here, baby. Always stay tonight. Stay tonight.
Stay the night.
Stay the night. Sorry.
I mean, really, though.
Oh, I will.
It's day to day.
We should be staying every night. I don't know about the days are hard, but the nights. Oh, here we go.
Oh, here we go.
Yes.
Saran Jones, lower back.
It's a Misty coordinator killing it on this episode.
With the perfectly placed hole in her shirt.
Ugh,
and so she sexy. Stopped so that she can look at her in the eyes.
I forgot about this scene. This scene makes me cry. Like,
and Anne wants to keep going, but she's overtaken.
I've had this moment a lot of times.
She's so beautiful.
Yeah.
They're both so beautiful right now and vulnerable. They're both so beautiful and vulnerable together.
Shout out to Saran Jones to how well she delivers this monologue. It is so good. It is so perfect. It is so how you feel.
Especially if you're someone that has lived your entire life as who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody lives their own journey and everybody lives their life as they're supposed to. But to everybody out there that has lived the struggle of being comfortable enough to be who you are forever, nothing has ever been more relatable than this scene.
Yep. Every day I rise above it. The things people say.
The way they look at me.
Walk in the room. I know this feeling so well. And I rise above it, but I forget that other people can't because they haven't had to.
No matter what I say, no matter what I say or how you feel, if you haven't trained yourself to do this as I have, you can't. It's not as easy as saying it.
Nope. And I forget that other people can't do it. Oh.
So beautiful. The emotion in Saran Jones' face when she says it.
It's true.
And she holds her because she wanted.
But you came so close. She came so
close. Mm. I have been in that exact moment many, 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 many years ago. Rise against
her face. It's so sweet. This scene is just brutal. The first time I watched it, I cried so hard. Sobbed and sobbed and sobbed.
And it's brutal, but so beautiful. You know, there's beauty in the breakdown. Like, you see Ann Walker holding her.
Yeah.
Like, Ann Lister just spoke her truth.
It's true.
And Ann Walker realizes in that moment how much she has hurt Ann Lister.
She's like, I wish I hadn't sent that damn letter. But now she got her little bitty Bible, too, because that is the gift that you give someone you love.
Or rather, a Book of Common Prayer, as it was pointed out to us, which was different.
Oh, my bad. That's a Holy Bible.
This is a Bible, but the one from last episode was a Book of Common Prayer. The way that Ann Walker holds her in this scene from so behind. Sweet. Oh, my God.
Bittersweet.
And it's so different than how they usually hold each other. And the tears, like, I swear to God, every tear that Saran Jones shed for this show, we feel it, girl.
Some very good acting.
Those were the best tears I ever saw shed.
Yep, for sure.
On screen.
Here's the old creepy Moppet revealing the plan all along. Being nosy. Do you know anybody she loves? I might.
She makes me feel even more so than Mama Rawson made me feel about the lady with all the stuff on her back from Labyrinth. Like, she makes me feel more that than that lady.
Mama Rawson does that for me. She's just like something just moppity about her. Just, I don't know, like, she's not real. Like, her skin is made of velvet or something. Ugh.
She's 1832 Jabba.
Yeah, she's terrifying in so many ways. But, nah. Nah, she's like, she don't like him. I don't know why he thinks that she does, but she don't. That's my boo. I know.
No, ma'am.
Perfect. He's not a bad man and perfectly good looking. Oh, okay. That's all it takes.
And I'm like, word. Whatever you say, ma.
And then she's like, he's inept of money, so it'd be great to marry her to this rich bitch that could take care of him.
And Anna's just disgusted. She's like, am I really sending my baby off to this right now? Like, she is not in any state to deal with this kind of bullshit right now.
And once again, she ain't taking it. I hope you would never marry anyone to pay their debts.
It's just like what she said to her aunt. She said that if something doesn't happen, she'll be surrounded by her family until eventually she's all dried up. And then one day, poof, she's not there.
Very cold handshake. Get in the carriage, Mama. We got to go. Damn, this must have been so hard for Anne.
This whole scene is so rough, too, when they say goodbye. Because there's so much between them. There's so much more that they need than this.
Yeah.
But she notices that she's wearing the gondola pin that she gave her.
She rubs her thumb across it. This hug.
And then she leans. They almost try to kiss and remember themselves.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh, my God.
Will you stay the night? Yeah, no kiss. Oopsie. No kiss.
Will you ride in the carriage with me and stay the night?
Girl, you're going to live in a whole other place. I can't stay the night.
It makes me so sick. Like, it just hurts my feelings.
Yeah. And this shiesty brown-hatted bastard. Don't trust nobody with a brown.
Nobody likes your brown top hat, Mr. Sutherland.
Not to be trusted. James. Letting her go. James has nothing to do with it. I just have to ride James.
But we're going to blame James for everything.
Oh, beautiful look. Shout out to whoever shot that scene. It's perfect through her for the carriage. God,
and
such
they just
a good
watch
show.
Each other until they literally cannot possibly see one single glimpse of each other again.
Nope.
And those curls are popping.
A little lip tremble. Killing it. Killing it, Saran. You are the best. You are a good actress. She's breaking my heart. And then just coming in with the theme song.
I'm just coming in with the theme song.
Fade to black.
Though she falters, she persists.
Toughest episode so far, for sure.
Can't wait until next week.
Ba-ba-ba-bum.
Why have you brought that? But it's very sad, but there are lots of funny moments. So we're looking forward to it, as always.
Absolutely. So, let's see here. We are our gentleman Jack this week is, I'm going to let you talk about it.
Stephanie Kolvik.
Yeah.
She has been listening to us since the very beginning, and we've emailed and messaged her back and forth, and we just felt like she is somebody who clearly has the internal desire to give back to this world. She is a member of the British military, and she's offered us a ton of really positive and helpful feedback. And, you know, we interact with her, and we see her interact with other people on our groups that we're a part of, and it's just obvious that she is somebody that is all about building other people up and making the world a better place. And we wanted to nominate, again, Stephanie Kolvik as our Gentleman Jack this week.
Yay! Thank you, Stephanie! All right, so we have some new countries this week that we want to shout out. We're kind of excited about these. We got Norway this week. We got Denmark. Shout out to Denmark. We want to live there. Anybody, Denmark listener, hook us up. And we got South Korea, y'all.
North Korea.
We have one listener in North Korea. If you're our one listener in North Korea, shout out to you. Send us an email because you might be our next gentleman, Jack, because you're a badass. You're a badass, and we salute you. We are very impressed by you. But we love all our listeners. Thank you all so much. One last shout out we want to do real quick.
We just wanted to give a shout out to all of the individuals and the teams and the groups that are out there in our little community right now that are inspired by Ann Lister's story and by this beautiful screen adaptation that we've now been given to inspire us even further, that are just out there creating and sharing their experience of this with our community. And we just really wanted to shout out two of our sister podcasts. They do a great job. We listen to you guys, and you guys are great. Shibden After Dark and Very Gay, Very Ladylike. We're just super proud to be a part of a little community of podcasts that's just trying to share our experience with this beautiful group of human beings that have been brought together by Ann Lister's story.
Absolutely. So thanks again for listening, you guys. We'll see you next week for Why Have You Brought That? Should be a very fun episode. Sad as well, but we're going to have a good time. We'll have more Madeira.
We'll have more Madeira. Shout out Blandy's one more time.
Send us a case. We'll see you next time, ladies. Thanks again, listeners.